This is Jim Inkster, and our guest at this time is Pulitzer Prize winner Matt Richtel, and his book is An Elegant Defense, The Extraordinary New Science of the Immune System. And if there were ever a time for a book like this, it is this time. And Matt, how do our immune systems respond to viruses like the one we're facing right now?
Yeah, well, first thing is, in general, actually, they respond beautifully. The immune system is a beautiful, beautiful, ancient, and well-honed system. However, there's something, we can get in the weeds if you like, but have you heard this called the novel coronavirus? Have you heard that term?
I have.
So when I hear that term after learning so much about the immune system, the word that stands out to me is not coronavirus, but novel. And the reason for that is because it is new to our immune system. And to kind of illustrate what that means, I think we can illustrate to our listeners. Do me a favor, describe for me what's around you right now. Is there a soundboard? Is there a microphone? What do you got?
Yep. And it's the studio I am in. We have a table and three microphones, headphones, a computer. And I'm looking across the glass, and in the next room is our producer, and he has a soundboard and two computers, and okay. A lot of people have been in and out of these studios over the last few hours.
Yep, no doubt. Okay, and I'm looking at my home office chair, and no offense to anyone there, my Golden State Warriors hat. So listen, on all of that stuff, this is the important thing for your listeners. On their steering wheels, their radios, their clothes, we have microbes all over us. We have bacteria and parasite, virus, but they're just invisible things that we live with, an alien world. And our immune system is constantly scanning our environment, not by looking out, but by every time we take something in, we inhale, it gets on our skin, we rub our nose. And over the course of our lifetimes, it gets really familiar with what's out in the environment. And then, like any child that learns in school, like any athlete that trains, it gets really good at figuring out what to do under what circumstances. Then, lo and behold, it comes up with something new. And it goes, whoa, what is this thing? So that's kind of the starting point of this conversation and why society is a little bit at a standstill right now.
You, in your book, An Elegant Defense, Matt Richtel, you make the case that ostracizing people with certain diseases is cruel and immoral and ultimately self-defeating. So these measures we're taking, the so-called social distancing, which you're experiencing more so than anybody in San Francisco,
yep.
Are they effective?
Well, so let's go back to what. But that's a great question because I think a lot of people are asking, are we overreacting? Is this necessary? Let me go to the next step in this. So your immune system goes, whoa. Then this beautiful, magnificent system starts to generate precision assassins. It recognizes this, but it takes some time, right, because it's new. If you'd been vaccinated and had seen it before, if this was a common cold you'd seen in preschool or your family brought home, you'd have some defenders who already recognized it. But now you got to get your immune system up and running, and they got to go from a standing stop. All right, so why are we doing this right now? Well, it turns out that I'm going to ask you a personal question. I suspect the answer is 29, but how old are you?
I am 62.
62. Okay, and I'm 53. We're right on the cusp where the immune system, that factory making, starts to slow down a little bit and get a little out of balance. But the issue we're grappling with as a society right now is that when you get to your 70s and 80s, or you've got a pre-existing condition, or you're younger and have a pre-existing condition, your immune system's really struggling to keep up and have a proper response. So we got a whole system of ventilators, an incredible system of nurses and doctors, and those ventilators, if you really want to get at what's going on here, it's really fair to say this is an immune system story. We put people on ventilators to help them breathe so their immune systems can catch up. And what we are saying right now, I'm not taking a policy position because I'm a health and science guy. I'll leave it to you, the talk show hosts and the politicians, to tell me what to think. I don't mean to be glib there. I just don't take a policy position. But I do welcome you telling me what to think. So listen, we hook people up to ventilators. If this novel coronavirus affects so many people that we don't have enough ventilators, we're not going to be able to help the society's collective immune system. So they're saying to me and you and my kids and my wife and our families, stay inside. Don't spread this to your parents and grandparents, because otherwise we're going to run out of equipment.
Mm-hmm. Now, Matt's not the first to make this case. You say that these antibacterial soaps and hand sanitizers may not be the best thing to do at a time like this. Why not?
Yeah. So, well, first of all, there's a hint in the name of this stuff about why we don't need antibacterial. This is not a bacteria. So the antibacterial stuff isn't going to do you any good. This is a virus. I'm going to come for in a second to why the antibacterial stuff can be overdone, but I do want to say one bit of good news, if there's good news here, is if you wash your hands with soap, that will break down the coating of this virus. It's a thin coating on the outside. I'm not telling you to go OCD and do it every 2 minutes, but when you go in and out of places, when you come home, you leave work, wash your hands. You can also clean surfaces, not like crazy, but that will help remove the virus from things. But why not antibacterial soap? Well, there's a separate issue. So this book, An Elegant Defense, goes very broadly into the immune system. One of the issues we've grappled with as a society is that we have overdone it with antibiotics and overdone it with antibacterial soap. Now, these address bacteria, not virus, different kind of organism. But what's happened over time is these bacteria have begun to develop defenses against our antibacterial soaps and our antibiotics. Mm-hmm. And if we don't use this stuff more judiciously, they're going to get real powerful, and then we're not going to be able to fight them off.
And you note that germs are bad, of course, but stress may be even more of a factor as far as attacking our immune system. Why is stress so detrimental?
Yeah. If you've been watching the news, you'll see the president or this heroic doctor, Dr. Anthony Fauci, talk about keeping your stress low or your sleep up. And would you believe there's real science behind that? Let me give you a little exercise. Could you picture yourself being chased by a lion, like your ancestor about 3,000 years ago?
Well, I can visualize it, but it would be a stretch.
Okay. All right. So imagine some primitive man running from a lion. When that happens, because the same systems are in us today, you get fight or flight going. You know that feeling when your adrenaline gets rolling?
Yeah.
So when that happens, your body shifts resources. You got finite resources in your body. It shifts them to helping you survive that moment. You're speeding up. Your blood vessels are expanding. Your blood pressure's going up. Your vision's great, but it shifts resources away from your immune system. Now, why in the heck would that be? Well, I'll give you a simple answer. If you're trying to get away from a lion, the head cold can wait. So in this day and age, if your adrenaline's going all the time, I'm scared, or, what's my boss going to do? What's my spouse going to do? Oh, no. You're actually kind of putting yourself into fight or flight, and your immune system can dampen. You can actually make yourself more susceptible, more vulnerable to the virus. That is true exactly of sleep. Got to get your 7.5 hours. Got to try to breathe or pray, meditate, or exercise, whatever it takes. But you have control over that lever.
Well, you're one of the most versatile reporters in the world, Mark Richtel at the New York Times. He received the Pulitzer for national reporting for a series of articles expanded into his first nonfiction book. And let's close with that. As I mentioned, your versatility. It's been 6 years since A Deadly Wandering. Is there, in some unusual way, a connection between that work and the current one, An Elegant Defense?
Yeah, I think there is. That's such a I'm so grateful you asked that question. This is what I suspect is going on around the world, and I'm not I'm just sort of building some ideas around this. But I think one of the challenges we have, if you set aside all the partisanship and other stuff going on in our society, is there's a lot of external stimulation coming in real hard and real fast. Stuff on your phone, fast-moving information, challenges to the economy that seem to be going ever faster. And I think a lot of our health and a lot of our mental health comes from our ability to try to find ways of feeling peaceful.
Well, we appreciate your thoughts, and we look forward to talking with you again. And the book is An Elegant Defense, from one of the best reporters in the world, from the New York Times Pulitzer Prize winner, Matt Richtel. Matt, best of luck to you and your family.
Gratitude.
And a reminder that 10 months from today is Inauguration Day. Who will be the next president? The Dow Jones Industrial Average, by the way, is up 2% in the early trading today. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial.